to us all singing that with you later. If you would take your Bibles and your study sheets, we will do the last message in this series, the eighth message, on the one another teachings. One day the elders of a certain church were faced with a situation that was a little uncomfortable. There was a man in the church named Ben who had a very serious heart condition. But he had just inherited $1 million. He didn't know it yet, but his lawyer had come to the elders of the church, very concerned that when Ben hears about this inheritance, it could affect him in his condition. His bad heart. So they were wondering, the lawyer was wondering if the elders of Ben's church could kind of break the news to him somehow that he had just inherited $1 million. Well, the elders talked about it, and of course they asked the pastor if he would be willing to be the one that somehow figured out a way to tell Ben that he had inherited this large sum of money. The pastor agreed. And so one day after church, he approached Ben, just by himself, and he decided to begin the conversation just kind of casually by asking Ben the question, Ben, if you had $1 million, what would you do with it? Ben looked up and he said, Pastor, if God gave me $1 million, the first thing I would do before I did anything is give half of it to the church. Pastor had a heart attack and died. You don't hear that every day. In fact, I've never heard it. But one thing you're not going to hear today as we conclude with a final one another teaching is anything about offerings or giving to the church. Because I am one of those blessed, graced pastors who doesn't really have to talk about that. God has given us a church family, and our elders talk about this all the time. We're so thankful. This church family is so generous. This church family, for the most part, gets it when it comes to the whole concept of giving to God's ministry and to the local church. And so because of you and because that's true of you, this isn't the kind of subject that I have to keep coming before you about. Isn't that wonderful? But you are generous people. And we are really thankful. Because of that, we are able to do any ministry that God would lead us into and not have to worry about finances. We're able to be as good stewards as we can be with the material things and properties and stuff that God has given us to use for ministry. We're debt-free. I mean, everything is like that because of you, because of your generosity. And so because of that, I don't have to deal with this subject and apply it to you giving to the church. Isn't that wonderful? But I am going to talk about generosity because I believe it's one of the teachings as far as the one another principles are concerned. And that being generous and willing to share is a description of one another people, being generous and willing to share. And so I'm very quickly going to just present some thoughts from Scripture about that. And I'm not going to apply them to offerings in a church or even giving to the church. I just want you to see and hear these things from Scripture about generosity, and you can apply them to other things. Doesn't mean you stop giving to the church and our ministry, but I want you to apply this to other things in your life. Okay? The idea of generosity and being willing to share. Now, some people might say, but wait a minute, that's not really on our chart. I mean, I still have that chart in my Bible of 36 one another teachings, and there isn't anything there that says be generous toward one another. There isn't anything that says give to one another's needs. And you would be right. This isn't taught with the words one another after them like all the others. But what I want to suggest is it falls into many of the one another teachings. I mean, we're to care for one another. We're to have compassion toward one another. We're to be kind to one another. We're to serve one another. We're to encourage one another. And really, generosity and sharing with one another when there's a need fits all of those, right? It's a way to care. It's a way to show compassion. It's a way to encourage. It's a way to be kind. And so it fits many of the one another teachings, this idea of being generous and willing to share. You have a definition of generosity on your sheet there. Generosity is the willingness to share without holding back. Now, sharing grudgingly and just having a hard time letting go of the grip, that's not really generosity. All right? Generosity is being willing to share without holding back. There's no holding back. Totally loose grip. That's generosity. And it's about being unselfish with what has been given to us. Because God's the provider, right? It's been given to us. And generosity is being unselfish with that which has been given to us. Turn with me to Proverbs. We're just going to look at like four or five scriptures today. Proverbs chapter 11. I love the way that Solomon words this concerning generosity. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. He says, "One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty." And then verse 25. "A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." Don't you like that? What a statement about generosity. When you are generous and willing to share, it refreshes other people. It refreshes those on the receiving end of that. But Solomon says it also refreshes the giver. Have you experienced that? That generosity isn't just a refreshing of the receiver, but when it's done in the right spirit, it refreshes the giver. I like that. That's generosity. And, you know, a lot of times, when this subject of generosity and sharing comes up, people like to kind of skirt the area of money. And I'll hear people say, well, you know, we can be generous with our talents. We can be generous with our time. And they'll list some of those kinds of things. And they are absolutely right. But did you know in the scriptures and the ones we're going to look at talk about generosity, it's always in the context of money and possessions, not time or talent. You can find other scriptures that talk about the importance of being good stewards of your talents and good stewards of your time. But when it comes to generosity, scripture focuses on one thing, money and possessions, when it talks about generosity. So that's what we're going to look at. Acts chapter 4. We're going to look at three main scriptures, and I'm just going to point out one thing from each one. This isn't a detailed study on this. I'm going to point out one thing about generosity and being willing to share from each of these passages. So we start in Acts chapter 4. This is in the context of the first church, the believers forming the very first church in Jerusalem, after Jesus has left and the Spirit has come and indwelt His people. And this is the church in Jerusalem that came to be. Starting in verse 32. It says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Now, I'm just going to focus on one statement there that I think is amazing about this first church in Jerusalem. Verse 34, there were no needy persons among them. Isn't that a great statement to make about a church family, a church community? That's what Scripture says about that first church group in Jerusalem. There were no needy people among them. Isn't that amazing? I mean, just think about that. Why? Well, they were of one heart and mind. They were united. And no one claimed that their possessions were their own. They shared. And apparently, they're talking about possessions and money here, because the text says, you know, sometimes, and I'm not telling you to go sell your land and your houses, but that's what they did. If there was a need, they would even sell possessions in order to bring the money they got from that to the leaders of the church, and the leaders would make sure that anybody who was in need was provided for. And as a result, there was no needy person in that church. Wow. That's generosity. That's being willing to share. Turn with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Chapter 6. I'll read this and point out one thing that catches my eye here about generosity and being willing to share. 1 Timothy 6, 17 to 19. Paul says to Timothy, who is the pastor of the church at Ephesus, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. That's where the title of the message comes from, generous and willing to share. Paul is saying that to Timothy. Teach these people to be generous and willing to share. Verse 19. In this way, by being generous and willing to share, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. And that's the statement that I want to really focus on here that grabs my attention. He says that if the people respond when you instruct them to be generous and willing to share, they will come in touch with the life that is truly life. They will be laying up treasures somewhere beside down here in this world. And they'll experience what life is really about. And I think what he's saying is that generosity and being willing to share is really what kingdom life includes. Living in the kingdom of God, in the family of God. It has this eternal perspective. You're thinking bigger picture, eternal, the things of God. And it's so easy, you know, like he says earlier in the passage, tell them not to put their hope in wealth, the stuff of this present world. So many people put their hope in it. They're counting on it. They're trusting in their money and possessions, the stuff. And Paul says, tell them not to put their hope in that stuff, but to put their hope in God. Did you know that it's much easier to be generous and willing to share with others if your hope is in God than it is if your hope is in the stuff? Because if your hope is in the stuff, guess what you do with the stuff? Right? Because that's where your hope is. That's what you're counting on. That's what's answering all your questions and solving your problems. You put your hope in the stuff. And that tends to cause you to hang on to the stuff. Paul says, encourage them to put their hope in God. That's much bigger. That's eternal. And when you put your hope in God, then all of a sudden, there's no problem letting loose of the grip of the stuff. Because your hope's in God. He's the answer. He's the provider. And so he goes on to say, and if they will do that, if they will be generous and willing to share, they will connect with this whole eternal perspective, this whole kingdom way of thinking that has a bigger picture, an eternal picture. Okay? And so if you're going to be a generous, willing to share person, you got to make sure your hope's in the right direction. Because if your hope is in the stuff, you're going to be finding it very difficult to be generous and to be willing to share. And that's part of being a one another person. A kingdom person. That perspective. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians. This is moving right along because half the message we already took care of, right? We reviewed and you shared. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The context here is that chapters 8 and 9 both deal with giving. And what's going on is there's a great need among the Christians back in Jerusalem. In that area, some things are going on that's really made it hard on them, persecution, and the Christians there have a great need. So Paul is going around to the churches in the other parts of the world, other side of the Mediterranean there, and he's encouraging them to give to help their brothers and sisters, who they don't even know, they've never met, but they're fellow Christians in Jerusalem who have needs. So he's going around letting them know of the need, and he's asking them to contribute, and then he's going to take what he collects from all these churches and bring it to the people in Jerusalem. So that's what this is about. And he's specifically talking to the Corinthian church, who had made a commitment to do this, but they're not really following through. And so here he's encouraging them in his second letter to, you know, come on, you made a promise, you said you would help out, so, you know, get going so that when I come, I can collect the money and add it to what the other churches have given. So that's the context here. So he's talking about that when he talks about giving. Let's start in verse 6 of chapter 9, and then I'll just focus on one thing here like I did on the other two. Verse 6, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. That's from Psalm 112. It's talking about the man who fears the Lord. So he's the one that scatters his gifts to the poor, and his righteousness endures forever. Verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, that would be God, will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, the Jerusalem Christians, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. So that's a little bit of Paul encouraging the Corinthian church to you know, get with it and put into action the promises they made about giving toward the needs of the Jerusalem church. I want to pick out just one thing he says. Just one thing. I could say a lot here. There's a lot here about giving. I could even mention something I heard on TV today as I was getting ready that a TV preacher said that riles me, but I won't even bring that up. All right. So, what gets my attention this time as I was looking at this is toward the end. And it's Paul brings it up four times in this context of being generous and willing to share to help with this need. And this is wonderful. He says at the end of verse 11, he says, you know, God has provided for you so you can be generous. And then he says, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Now remember that. He says, your generosity, if you're willing to share with these people of need, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. He repeats the same idea, verse 12. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, which it is, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. So he says, your giving, your generosity, isn't just going to meet somebody's needs, but it's going to cause an overflowing of praises being offered to God. He repeats it a third time, verse 13. Because of your service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. You won't only be meeting their needs, but the receivers are going to praise God that you're living out the gospel that you say you have. Okay? And then a fourth time, verse 14 says, and in their prayers, those who received the gift, the Jerusalem Christians in this case, and in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Those four statements just grab my attention because they say that generosity doesn't just result in meeting people's needs. Okay? Showing your love for them, your care for them, your compassion for them, your kindness. It doesn't just encourage them. But notice what he says four times. He says, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. It will result in praises being lifted to God. It will result in the receivers praying for you and thanking God for you because of your generosity. Isn't that wonderful? Is it a desire of your heart at all that God gets the praise, that God receives all the thanks He deserves, that He gets the glory for everything? Is it your desire that God gets the attention of people? Paul says to these people, if you will be generous and you will get involved in this sharing to meet these needs, yeah, it'll meet their needs. Great. But it will also result in those people giving thanks to God. And is that what you want? Him getting the glory? It'll result in praise going to God from those people. Because when they receive this and their needs are met, they're going to praise God for providing for them. And he says it's even going to lead to them praying for you. They don't know you. They've never met you. But when you, through your generosity, help meet their need, they are going to start praying for you and thanking God for you. Okay, listen up, young people. Our youth group gives to and supports two young kids in Central America and South America. And every Wednesday, the students give something to support them, to meet their needs. I would guess most of you young people, and I'm really going to be hard on you now, okay? Still come Wednesday night. I would guess none of you have noticed when Aaron or Riley or somebody reads letters from those kids, where in almost every letter, that young boy or that young girl says, "And I am praying for you at the Evangelical Free Church in Embarrass." Has it dawned on any of you? Have you heard at all that statement in every letter? Those two kids are praying for you. Why? Because you're being generous and helping with their needs. And that's exactly what Paul says, isn't it? The receivers will thank God. They'll praise God for meeting their needs. But they'll also pray for you because now they're connected. Never met you. Never seen you. But because of your generosity, they're praying for you. Does that touch any part of your heart that there are two kids in Peru and Guatemala praying for you as a youth group because of your generosity? Maybe that'll lead to more than a quarter or a dime, huh? But I just love that. And we talk about missions. And, you know, again, one of the blessings is because of your generosity, we really give a lot to missions. And every once in a while, we will hear different missionaries are getting our support at just the right time when there was a great need, and they're thanking God and they're praising God for meeting their need. Our generosity is resulting in praise to God on their part. But also sometimes we hear from our missionaries that they are praying for us. Because generosity has created a connection. See? And so they're praying for us. And our giving causes them to give thanks to God. Isn't that great? Gloria will say amen to that, right? Amen. Isn't it wonderful? That's what generosity does. I think that's what Paul's saying. Generosity meets the needs, but remember, it's more than that. Generosity will lead people to give thanks and praise to God. And it'll also connect people that don't even know each other, but they start praying for each other. All because of generosity and being willing to share. Okay. So, that would be another description of one another people. Generosity and a willingness to share. It's part of caring for each other, showing compassion, being kind, encouraging each other, just being generous and being willing to share. One another people. When was the last time you practiced generosity? You know, 1 John 3 says, you know, don't just show, you know, don't just talk about your love. You know, don't just have good intentions about your love, but put some action to it. 1 John 3:17, something like that. And that's true with generosity and being willing to share with people who have a need. You know, we talk about it. We say, "I'll pray for you." We have good intentions, but is there ever action? When there's true generosity and a willingness to share, there's action. It's just what it is. That's generosity. So, that's part of being one another people. Final question. Series is over. That was the last one another teaching we're going to talk about. But I'm going to leave you from this series with one question, and it's at the bottom. We've talked about how we are committed to being one another people, all that that means, why it's important to us. We've looked at scriptures that talk about it. We've become more specific by each week picking out one of those ways we can be one another people and show love to each other in the body of Christ. Now the question is, How will you help us be one another people? Because a church can't be one another people if the people aren't being one another people, right? I mean, there isn't some mystical, you know, the church, and the church is one another people. A church can truly be called a one another church if the people are being that in their lives and relationships. And you've heard our commitment to it, the background to it, the history, what it's all about, and specific ways we try to do that. Now the question is, what can you do to help us get better? What can you do to help us grow in this commitment? What do you think you could do to help us be one another people? Next year we celebrate 40 years as a church. 40-year anniversary next year. We want to continue this commitment, but even be better at it in the next 40, which I won't be a part of entirely. Okay. Guaranteed, I won't be here for the 80th. But we celebrate 40. And we've been trying, with God's help, to be one another people, to fulfill that commitment. What can you do to help us in the next years ahead? Think about that. Ask God about it. What has He shown you in the mirror of His Word as we've gone to these different scriptures? And now as you walk away from the series, and walk away from seeing the graphic every week to remind you, and seeing the banner every week to remind you, what are you going to do when you walk away from the mirror? That could help us, or God could use you to help us grow in this area of being one another people, which simply means being like Jesus. Jesus in disguise as we relate to each other. Let's pray. Father, we give You thanks for this series. Thank You, Father, for reminding us of all these important things that we've committed ourselves to. Father, I pray that it has stirred us. I pray that it has brought us back to that edge of passion to be what You want us to be. And Father, I pray that many others would join us, others who maybe have just heard about this commitment and seen it laid out, what it means. Father, may in the next years ahead we be even more of a one another church and all that that means. And it's for Your glory, Father. It's to see thanks being offered to You. It's to see praise being offered to You. It's for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.